Well, some years ago, I came across this kind of model for helping people in groups to understand themselves and understand each other. It's called the Johari window. You might have come across it. So basically, it's a way of kind of opening up windows to enable individuals to understand more about themselves and to allow other people to talk about what they see in you to enable you to understand yourself more, and for the group to understand each other as well. Well, over the next 2 months, we're going to be looking at Revelation chapters 2 and 3. It is where Christ opens up windows to seven churches who were in the province, the Roman province of Asia, which is what we now know as Turkey. If you look on this map, you'll be able to see the seven churches that I'm talking about. But before we launch into this series, I want to spend some time today talking about a little bit of background about this first chapter in Revelation, because I think it gives us a bit of a foundation to build on as we go into this series, as a bit of an introduction to this series as well. So even if you don't know much about the book of Revelation, you won't be surprised to hear that it's all based around a revelation. There's a bit of a clue in the title. But if you ask most Christians what the book of Revelation is about, I'm guessing that lots of people might say it's about the future. And in part, that is right. It talks about what is going to happen in end times. But actually, the word revelation, from which we get our word apocalypse, which is a kind of common understanding of the end times, actually the original word means something slightly different. It means to uncover or to unveil or to reveal what is hidden. So I really encourage us to keep that in the back of our minds as we go through this sermon series and look at these seven churches, that Christ is giving a revelation in order to reveal what is hidden and uncover what's already there. Because as well as providing a revelation for the future, this book also provides a present revelation. These are things as they really are. And that is the focus of the chapters that we're going to be looking at. This revelation is given to John. Now, as always, there's always a bit of debate about which John it is, but actually there's pretty clear that this is the Apostle John. This is the disciple that Jesus loved. So this is somebody who would have journeyed with Jesus during his ministry. Actually, the Apostle John outlived all of the other disciples by many years, and he ended up being one of the senior leaders in the church in Ephesus. So there's a sense that as you read the letter, the book of Revelation, this is somebody who knows the area, which is why it makes people think that it was the Apostle John that had this revelation. But this time, it's 30 years after Jesus had been crucified. The church had experienced phenomenal growth, but with that growth had come a lot of persecution. So as we look at these seven churches, I want us to remember that these are churches who have got their backs against the wall. This was not an easy time to be a Christian. And John is on the island of Patmos. I've just put a little red circle. I don't know if you can see it in the bottom left. So he's been exiled to this island. He's been boldly preaching about Jesus, about the gospel of Jesus. And so he's been banished to this island to try and prevent him from doing any more kind of damage as far as the authorities are concerned. They're trying to minimize the impact of the gospel by kind of shipping him off to this island on his own in exile. But actually, this is God's way of working, isn't it? It gives the opportunity for God to give him this fantastic revelation. John is told to write down all that he sees and then send it in the form of a letter to the seven churches that we're going to be looking at. If you were listening when Chris read the first part of this revelation, you might remember that part of the revelation was these seven lampstands, which figuratively speaking represent each of the seven churches. And we have this fantastic image of Jesus walking around and in and through these lampstands, Jesus is walking around in and through these churches and congregations. He's listening to conversations. He's watching people as they serve him. He's watching as these congregations worship. He's listening to the heart of each of the churches as he visits and wanders through these lampstands. In other words, he's the eyes and the ears of the church. As we go through the letters, we'll see that time and time again, this phrase comes up. Jesus says, "I know. I know your deeds. I know your hard work. I know your perseverance. I know your afflictions. I know your love and your faith. I know the service that you give. I know your strengths and your weaknesses." As we think about Jesus' journey around these churches, I want us for a moment, and this is part of the reason why we're looking at this series, to think about what Jesus would see if he mingled around us. I know some of you don't like it when I say get up and speak to somebody else and mingle around on a Sunday morning, but actually if Jesus were to do that in this church, what would he know about us? What would he see? What would he identify as some of our strengths and some of our weaknesses? Because Jesus is passionate about the church. He wants the church to grow. He wants it to be effective for his kingdom. He wants us to hold on in amongst all of the challenges, and in other parts of the world, particularly those who are persecuted. Jesus knows where we need comfort, but he also knows where we need, I was going to say a kick at the backside, that's probably not a very good thing to say, but he knows where the challenges are and where we need to be pushed out of our comfort zone in order to move forward into his kingdom. As Jesus does that for each of these seven churches, he writes them a letter. He details to them what he's seen. And although each letter is different in its contents, kind of tailored for each of the churches, they do follow a kind of similar format. So as we go through again in the next 7 weeks, we'll see a same format with different aspects for each of the churches. Jesus starts off with a different description of Jesus, replicated in what we've heard in chapter 1. Except for the church in Laodicea, Jesus congratulates them on what they're getting right. But then the letters move on to highlight what's going wrong. Apart from two churches don't get any rebuke, which must have been fantastic for them. And then the letters generally end with a solemn warning and also a promise. But you might be sat here this morning thinking, that's great for those churches. But why have I given up my Sunday morning, and why should I give the next 7 weeks of my Sunday mornings to come and look at these churches and these letters? It must have been fantastic if you were in one of these churches, if not a little scary, to receive a letter from Jesus himself commending you for certain things and kind of focusing on what you need to do better. But how does that relate to us today in a very different context, situation, and in very different churches? Well, first of all, there's a repeated phrase that we'll hear time after time after time. Let those who have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. God's Spirit was speaking to the churches, and it's the same Spirit that speaks to us today. This divine revelation was from God himself, and there is a special promise of special blessing to those who read this prophecy and to those who listen to it. The purpose of this vision wasn't just for the churches then, but also for the churches now, for every church in every place and every generation. In other words, these seven churches represent all churches of all ages and all lands. I want to say that what other people think about Harrogate Baptist Church is important, particularly people who are outside in our community. How do they think about us is a really important thing for us to think about and kind of work towards changing that image or building on it. But the most significant thing that we can ask, this most significant question that we can ask, is what does Jesus think about Harrogate Baptist Church? You see, we see in part, but he sees the whole. Jesus' knowledge is complete, objective, and constructive. He sees us as we truly are, but also he sees our capacities. He sees us as what we could be as we listen to him and follow the lead of his Spirit. Jesus reveals through his letters, through his Spirit, and can speak to us to think about who we should be as a church today. Those early churches were being persecuted and marginalized. Their backs were against the wall, and for some of them, they were even struggling to survive. And you know, as we look around our country, as we look around our world, we see churches being persecuted, even some of the ones that you will have come from if you come from abroad. We see churches that are struggling to move forward. And so as we go through these letters, as we think about this first chapter of Revelation, it seems to me that when the church has got its back against the wall, when we're struggling, when there's persecution, we don't need more worship songs, we don't even need more sermons. It seems to me the thing that we need the most is a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. That we are reminded of all who Jesus was, he is, and is to come. It takes us back to all that we were celebrating last week, that Jesus is alive, that he is still head of his church, and actually he is looking to move his people forward into the world, that just as Jesus was a faithful witness, we saw that in our pre-Easter service sermons, actually we are called to be a faithful witness in the world today. And that is seen in the Revelation 2, that the risen Christ holds seven stars in his right hand. It's described as the angels of the church, maybe some heavenly representatives or guardians of the church. We're not quite sure. But what do the two things, what do light lampstands and stars have in common? They're both to do with light. It reminds us that we are called to be lights in our world. That as we go out into this week, we each take the light of Jesus into the world. So just as we are thinking about what Jesus thinks about our church and all that he wants us to be, we're also challenged by this first part of this revelation to think about actually what sort of light do we bear, the light of Christ, as we go out into this week. So every week, I'm not here next week, but every week after that, we're going to be looking at a different church, a different letter, to see what goes well, what can encourage us, what can challenge us along the way. But most of all, we'll be asking, what sort of church does Jesus want us to be? Because as we go through these seven churches, we get a great picture of the church, or the church that Jesus wants for his church. So can I encourage you to get up and to come to church for the next 7 weeks as we journey together and explore together, to be comforted, to be challenged together, and to receive a fresh revelation of who Jesus is, and particularly what sort of church has he called Harrogate Baptist Church to be in 2022. So let's just be still for a moment. Because as we think about the church, as a kind of the church, we also think about Harrogate Baptist Church. Actually, Harrogate Baptist Church comprised of individuals. There is no church apart from the individuals that are sat here and who would normally be here on a Sunday. So just think for a moment, as we think about the message that Jesus will give us, think about what does that mean for me as an individual member of this church. So let's just be still for a moment and reflect on that as we reflect on this revelation of the living Christ.